Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 2, Prayers by the Demigods, Text Number 31. Swayam Samitira Sudushtaram Duman.
Swayam Samitira Sudushtaram Duman.
Bhavarnavam Bhimam Adabra Saurida. Pavatpadam Bauruha Navamatrate. Nidaya Taksat Anugraho Bhavan. Swayam personally. Samutirya perfectly crossing. Sadustaram, which is very difficult to cross. Duman, O Lord, who appear exactly like the sun, illuminating the darkness of this world of ignorance. Bhava Arnavam, the ocean of nations. Bhimam, which is extremely fierce. Adabra, Sorida, devotees who are incessantly friendly to the fallen souls. Bhavat Pada Sam Amburu Amboruha, your lotus feet. Navam, for the boat for crossing. Atra, in this world. Te, they, the Vaishnavas. Nidaya, leaving behind. Yataha, on to the ultimate destination, Vaikuntha. Sat Anugraha, are always kind and merciful to the devotees. Bhavan, you. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My Lord, who resemble the shining sun, you are always ready to fulfill the desire of your devotee, and therefore you are known as a desire tree, Vancha Kalpataru. When acharyas completely take shelter under your lotus feet in order to cross the fierce ocean of nations, they leave behind on earth the method by which they cross. And because you're very merciful to your other devotees, you accept this method to help them. Purport. This statement reveals how the merciful acharyas and merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead together help the serious devotee who wants to return home back to Godhead. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his teachings to Rupa Goswami, said, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. One can achieve the seed of bhakti lata, devotional service, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. The duty of the Guru is to find the means, according to the time, the circumstances, and the candidate, by which one can be induced to render devotional service, which Krishna accepts from a candidate who wants to be successful in returning and going back home, back to Godhead. After wandering throughout the universe, a fortunate person within this material world seeks shelter of such a guru or acharya who trains the devotee in the suitable ways to render service according to the circumstances, so that the Supreme Personality of Godhead will accept the service. This makes it easier for the candidate to reach the ultimate destination. The Acharya's duty, therefore, is to find the means by which devotees may render service according to references from Shastra. Rupa Goswami, for example, in order to help subsequent devotees, publishes such books as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Thus, it is the duty of the Acharya to publish books that will help future candidates take up the method of service and become eligible to return home back to Godhead by the mercy of the Lord. In our Krishna conscious movement, this same path is being prescribed and followed. Thus, the devotees have been advised to refrain from four sinful activities: illicit sex, intoxication, meat-eating, and gambling, and to chant 16 rounds a day. These are the bona fide instructions. Because in the Western countries, constant chanting is not possible, one should not artificially imitate Haridasa Thakura, but should follow this method. Krishna will accept a devotee who strictly follows the regular principles and the method prescribed in the various books and literatures published by the authorities. The Acharya gives a suitable method for crossing the ocean of nations by accepting the boat of the Lord's lotus feet. And if this method is strictly followed, the followers will ultimately reach the destination by the grace of the Lord. This method is called Acharya Sampradaya. It is therefore said, Sampradaya Vihina Ye Mantras Te Nishpala Mata, Padma Purana. The Acharya Sampradaya is strictly bona fide. Therefore, one must accept the Acharya Sampradaya. Otherwise, one's endeavor will be futile. Sharanartham Das Thakura therefore sings, Tandera Charna Sevi Bhakti Sane Vasa Janme Janme Kahaya Eyabhilasha. One must worship the lotus feet of the Acharya and live within the society of devotees. Thus, one may endeavor to cross over nations will surely be successful. So the translation again. O Lord, who resemble the shining sun, you're always ready to fulfill the desire of your devotee, and therefore you are known as a desire tree, Vancha Kalpataru. When Acharyas completely take shelter under your lotus feet, in order to cross the fierce ocean of nations, they leave behind on earth the method by which they cross. And because you are very merciful to your other devotees, you accept this method to help them. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada sometimes would travel extensively in India and meet different persons who were proposed to be great saints. But the first thing Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada would ask them is, who's your spiritual authority? Who's your spiritual master? And if they didn't have one, then he didn't take them very seriously. Just like sometimes devotees even claim they know everything perfectly. But then you have to ask them, anyone who claims to have knowledge, where did you get the knowledge from? And if they claim they got the knowledge, they created the knowledge or just came to them, then we can understand that they're simply pretenders. Otherwise, Krishna is wrong. And if Krishna is wrong, because he says, evam parampara praptam imam rajarshaya vidu sakalaini ha mahata yogo nashta parantapa. This knowledge is thus received in the chain of the disciplic succession, and the saintly kings understood in this way. In the course of time, this knowledge was broken, and therefore the science as it is appears to be lost. So Krishna came, imam vivushate yogam praktavan aham avyam. Vivashvan Manave Praha Mano Ishvakave Bravi. Vivashvan, the sun god, he heard Bhagavad Gita from Krishna. Now, why didn't the sun god, because he's quite luminous, he's quite enlightened, we can say, why didn't the sun god just realize everything because he's the sun god? Why did Krishna have to come and speak to the sun god? Because we may say, well, I don't believe in the sun god. This is all fictitious. It was Joe. That part of the Bhagavad Gita I don't really accept because it's too... No one will believe that there's a sun god that Krishna spoke to. And what to speak? Krishna went to the sun god and spoke to him. And what was he going to speak? He speaks this book, right? I mean, if I went to the sun god, I'd ask him... I wouldn't ask him how the weather is, because that would be pretty obvious. But I'd ask him questions like, you know, since you are so bright, how to tell me what's happening in the other planets, because you can probably see everything, because you're so luminous. No, Krishna went to him, and he didn't ask the sun god anything. He spoke Bhagavad Gita to him. And the sun god... He didn't think, well, thanks a lot, I guess I had to be polite, I had to listen to Bhagavad Gita. I don't know who this person Krishna is, but somehow or another he came to visit me, so I had to listen to this Bhagavad Gita. No, imam vivashvate yogam proktavam aham av. Vivashvan manave praha. No, Vivashvan, the sun god, then spoke to his son, well, actually not his son, he spoke to Manu, Swayambhuva Manu. He thought it was important enough what Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita. He was going to repeat it to his one of his administrative heads, Swayambhuva Manu. And Swayambhuva Manu, he thought it was important enough, he spoke it to his son, Manu. And this way, this knowledge is being repeated, Krishna said. Now, if it was just ordinary knowledge, if Krishna is talking about, you know, Alice in Wonderland, then why would Vivashvan, you've heard of Alice in Wonderland? Have you heard of Alice in Wonderland? Yes. Have you heard of Alice in Wonderland? Okay. I don't, what's that? Anyhow, it's good, you don't know. I just mentioned, but Krishna didn't repeat Alice in Wonderland to the sun god Vivashvan, and then Vivashvan said, well, what a nice story, I think I'll tell it to someone else. Hey Swayambhuva Manu, you're visiting, do you want to hear a good story? No, he repeated something important. He repeated the Bhagavad Gita, because the Bhagavad Gita has a path which is, as it explains in Bhagavad Gita, that there's a path of liberation so we can get out of the misconception of that we're part of the material world and realize our spiritual identity. And in Bhagavad Gita, there is a means by which we can realize our spiritual identity. It's not simply Krishna's opinion about different subject matters. It's a systematic explanation of how step by step we can get out of the bodily concept of life and awaken our spiritual consciousness. And therefore, those who are following Bhagavad Gita, that's their duty, is to try to awaken spiritual consciousness in others. There is no other purpose of the Bhagavad Gita other than helping people get out of the material conceptions of life and awaken their spiritual consciousness. So anyone who can help us do that, then they become our authority, our guru, etc. And the person who knows everything perfectly, then he's actually the acharya. Everyone else is servant of the acharya. And they serve the acharya not by inventing something different from what the acharya said, but by repeating the acharya's message in a way which is applicable to the time, place, and circumstance. Some means by which we can apply the teachings. For instance, Srila Prabhupada understood that, well, his spiritual master told Srila Prabhupada, if you ever get money, then print books. And then Prabhupada engaged his disciples, his followers, in distributing those books. They're written Sankirtans. Because there's no difference between the vibrations that are in the book and Krishna. If an ordinary person, even an ordinary devotee, went out and tried to explain to people on the street what's in the book, people will not understand because the knowledge is not so, it's a process of understanding it. We may be very confident that I've understood everything, and therefore if I go out, I give my mercy to others and tell them what's in the book, they'll understand. But one needs a background to understand. Just like we, our sadhana, our chanting of Hare Krishna, our coming to the program, our service, this is the background that helps us gradually go from one step of understanding to the next, one phase of understanding to the next. And we can jump, because every single phase means that we have to surrender. And surrender is not just, I surrender, I give up. I can't be the Lord, all right, you can be the Lord. I surrender. No, it means we actually have to go through a process, step-by-step process, and every step there's a test to see if we pass the test. Just like if you go to school, and I guess some of us go to school or went to school, in normal education, at the end of some learning process, there's a test to see how much we actually learn. Not that I simply sit in the classroom and I have my eyes open, and therefore at the end of the seminar or at the end of the semester, then I get a pass because my eyes were open. And if my eyes close, then I get a lower mark. No, it's tested how much we've actually heard by presenting the subject matter and seeing whether or not we've understood it. So one of the subject matters in Bhagavad Gita, after Krishna says what knowledge is, the next thing he says, Matra Sparsha Sukhantiya Shitoshna Sukadukada Agama Payano Nityas Tam Titiksha Sabharata. He says the next stage, you've heard, we're not this body. Now if you want to realize it, you have to be tolerant and not be disturbed. But not just sit there, it's, oh, I'm tolerant, hit me again, I'm tolerant. I turn the other, slap me, so I can learn tolerance. No, tolerance is not the purpose, it's not the end goal. It's like Trinadapi Sinichena Taraiva Sahishnuna. Humility is not the end goal. Real humility comes from the end goal. Real tolerance comes from the end goal. Real appreciation of others and this detachment from prestige comes from realizing the goal, namely to concentrate the mind upon Krishna and give our love to him. The more we become conscious of Krishna, the more automatically humility, tolerance, appreciation, or love is manifested. Therefore, our goal is not simply tolerance, although tolerance is necessary if we want to develop love, and therefore these things are tested. As Prabhupada writes, blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. One should not only hear it submissively, but once you get a clear understanding through submission, service, and inquiries. Does anyone know which chapter that comes from? What's that? Yes. Because you answered correctly, you get the chance to fast today. special bonus. A bona fide spiritual master is by nature very kind to the disciple, and therefore, when the student is submissive, Satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. Inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual understanding. Unless there is submission and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. One must be able to pass the test of the spiritual master. And when he sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. So these things are good to remember. And you know, what was the first sentence I said? Hello? Anyone out there? Anyone listening? Satisfaction of what? Is what?
The genuine desire of the disciple.
That's nice. Maybe you should write another book. Satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is what? Don't tell anyone this. In spiritual life, yes. Satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. Well, what happens if my spiritual master is not self-realized? If I satisfy him, will I get any advantage? Or should I look for a self-realized spiritual master and then try to satisfy him? Because everyone else is useless. What do you think, Mukunda? Yes, if he's repeating the same. No, we're not the doer, therefore one cannot repeat the message of the self-realized spiritual master unless he's connected with the self-realized spiritual master. So if you repeat his message, if someone repeats the message of a self-realized spiritual master, and then you try to satisfy what they're telling you, the instructions, then who are you serving? You're serving that devotee, who's serving the self-realized spiritual master. So therefore, you're actually serving the self-realized spiritual master. Therefore, we see the spiritual master, or any devotee, a devotee, we have to see them in disciples' succession, that they're connecting us. They're not standing by themselves, even practically. They can't say a word unless the super soul tells them what to say. Do you think anyone here think we can do something without the help of the super soul? If you do, get out. No, you can stay here. We'll let you stay so you can become convinced that we're not separate from the Supersoul. And the Supersoul, he can remind us of either what our mother said, and hopefully our mother was a devotee, or we can remind us what the self-realized spiritual master said, or Krishna said. Krishna actually is the original self-realized spiritual master. And he repeats that message perfectly in disciple succession. So the self-realized spiritual master is actually, it doesn't stop at the self-realized spiritual master. It goes through a whole line of disciple succession back to Krishna. So Krishna is actually the guru. Shiksha guru ke tajani krishnara sarup. Antaryami Bhakti Shrestha Eduri Rup. That one should know the Shiksha Guru as a representative of Krishna. Krishna Antaryami Bhakti Shrestha Eduri Rup. Krishna appears in two forms. One is the self-realized spiritual master, the Bhakti Shrestha, and the super soul. So Krishna is the super soul, is appearing in our heart, and he's giving us remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. And when we hear knowledge that he originally spoken, that came through the super succession, then Krishna is the one who's giving us that knowledge, and the disciplic succession is along with him. It's coming from, we're receiving that knowledge from the Super Soul because we heard it in the disciplic succession. Otherwise, it doesn't appear out of nowhere. So actually, when we serve a devotee who's actually in the disciplic succession, we're actually pleasing Krishna and his devotees, a whole line of devotees. How auspicious it is to render service to a devotee who is repeating the message and following the message of Krishna in disciplic succession. Practically speaking, any devotee, because any devotee means that we're actually not only trying to satisfy that devotee, but we're satisfying a whole line of teachers in disciplic succession along with Krishna. So service to the devotees is one of the powerful processes of devotional service, one of the five. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha Sava Shastri Hoy, Leva Matra Sadhu Sangha Sava Siddhi Hoy. One can get all perfection by serving a sadhu in disciplic succession. So, what do the sadhus do? They try to create a program, a process by which one can easily engage in service to Krishna, by one can believe that Krishna is actually the Supreme Lord, understand the philosophy enough that we render service, that we actually think that the satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is what? Mukunda Prabhu. Mukunda. What is the satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master the secret of? In what? Yes, very good. So then, inquiries and submission constitute what? Who knows? Who cares? Anyone know? Inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for what? What's that? Spiritual understanding. Small little thing like spiritual understanding. Who cares, you know? So inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for what? What's that? Louder. With conviction. Once more. You're getting there. Good. Yeah, inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual understanding. Unless there is submission and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be what? Effective, yeah. So from the top, satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of, what's that? Spiritual understanding. Inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master, secret advancement in spiritual life. Inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for what? Yes. Unless there is submission and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be what? That's why we have books. Our memory is like the winds. What's that? Effective, yes, bingo. One should be able to pass the test of the spiritual master. And when he sees the what? Of the disciple, he what?
Blesses the disciple.
With what?
Spiritual understanding.
Yes, with genuine spiritual understanding. In this verse, both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. One should not only hear submissively, but one should get a clear understanding through submission, service, and inquiries. So how do we serve the spiritual master? How do we satisfy him? What's the process? Yes. Which in English? What the words, three things. Okay, if you want to say the verse, say it loudly. Good. And what are the three things that constitute proper spiritual understanding? Inquiry, submission, and? He seemed a little doubtful. Do you believe service is the third one? Yeah, that's the most difficult one. Service. Jai Dwaita Maharaj once said that something about conviction or being correct. So he said, even if you're wrong, that at least you should speak strongly. Because conviction, you speak with conviction. Even if you're wrong, at least you have the conviction part right. Clear thinking, that was it. Clear thinking and strong speaking. So even if we can't think clearly, at least we should speak strongly. Or they say, fake it until you make it. So in this verse, both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. One should not only hear submissively, but one should get a clear understanding through submission, service, and inquiries. This bona fide spiritual master is by nature very kind toward the disciple, and therefore when the disciple is always submissive and is ready to render service, then the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries becomes perfect. So we want knowledge, we want enlightenment. And this is the process of doing it. So the spiritual master is mentioned in the verse. He gives instructions in such a way as the disciple simultaneously becomes inspired to follow them, and at the same time, he knows what to do. Not that he gives instruction, the disciple runs off. He said, well, what did he say? He said, wow, Guru Maharaj, I'm going to do that. Great. And he runs out of the room. He goes, what did I say I was going to do? What did he just say? I can't go back. That's embarrassing. I'm just going to run off. No, it should be clear what's to be done, and it should be inspiring to do it. Not that the spiritual master says you take a left turn, and then you take another left turn, then you take another left turn, and there's an ocean, you jump into it and drown. Yes, Guru Maharaj, I'm into it, whatever you tell me. I don't know, I'm not really inspired to do it, but I'll follow it anyhow. It's clear what you told me to do. No, to take a left turn, take a left turn, and then there's a big feast going on. Jai Maharaj! It should be clear, but it should also be inspiring, so that we actually satisfy Krishna, ultimately. Therefore, Rupa Goswami compiled the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and he said what Krishna wants us to do, the general principles, their main principles, and there's principles, and then there is, what's the other principles? Details. So Krishna actually has a program for us, of which the five most important ones are chanting Hare Krishna. You've heard that before? Anyone ever hear that? Chant Hare Krishna. Worship the deities. That's why we have the deities here. They came here so we can worship them. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, serving the devotees, which we went over, because without serving the devotees, it's very hard to do the other ones, and living in a holy place, or making the place holy by preaching. And one can make one's house holy, one can make the temple holy. It's holy here because we're performing devotional service, and anywhere we are performing devotional service, that Krishna comes, that becomes a place of pilgrimage. It becomes a holy place. So, but still here, we, for instance, we clean the floor, we decorate the temple to serve Krishna. Therefore, it becomes even more spiritual because of the service rendered by the devotees. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Thank you for inspiring lecture. I would just like to ask, when you mentioned the importance that we really follow the instructions of spiritual master, of someone who is related to the cyclic succession, I would just like to ask, how can we give away the tendency to make on our own way? So how can we really give up this tendency and follow someone who is in the succession?
Well, I said this, if we serve the instructions coming into the super succession. Now, there's two things. If the instructions are clear, that helps. If we actually enter into our brain and we understand what they're saying, that's encouraging. And if they're talking about something that's relevant to us, then that's very encouraging also. So they should be clear and encouraging so that we can follow them. And then if we actually are submissive, we're inquisitive, not only submissive, but we're actually inquisitive how to obtain the goal, and then we follow it out by service, then we get encouraged. Krishna will encourage us because Krishna reveals himself. Tadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. He reveals what he's talking about, and then eventually he personally comes into our heart and we feel ecstasy. So by the higher taste, we become encouraged. So the clearer the instructions are, the more inspiring they are, the more we are submissive to follow them, because it's not only the spiritual master may be bona fide, give 100% clear instructions, which should be encouraging. But if the disciple is not submissive and ready to render service, then the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries won't be perfect. So what did you find inspiring about the lecture? He said it was inspiring. What did you find inspiring about it?
One thing I really liked was reminder how important it is to be connected with the cyclic succession. I really liked that part, and I also liked the part when you asked. Because then it reminded me that I should be attentive. I really liked those parts.
Good, thank you. Anyone else have a question, comment? We will talk about. Yes. Go ahead. Please use the microphone. You're in charge of the microphone. You should honor the microphone.
This proper understanding, it is from this verse, Tatvidi Pranipatina Pranipashnina Savaya Padashanti Te Ganinam Ganinastatva Darshinaha, I believe.
What's that?
These three points of proper understanding.
Yeah.
It's like this verse from Bhagavad Gita. Tatvidi pranipashnina.
That's the verse I was reading from.
Ah, yeah.
See, you revealed my secret.
Sometimes I write and then I don't hear
you. Yeah, and you know, you revealed my secret. Someone might have thought I made it all up. Now you know I'm just repeating what it says. So tonight we'll talk about Lord Nrisimhadeva's appearance, and then about someone who didn't follow these instructions, his disappearance. So we should follow these instructions so we don't disappear. Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.